third-generation missionary. I did not grow up here in the United States. I grew up in a third-world country, the Bahamas. Yeah, I know what some of you are thinking, right, Brother Saunders? Suffering for Jesus. Well, I will tell you, where I lived, there was no cruise ships. There were fishing boats, and there were no tourists. There were mosquitoes that would haul you off and consume your body. That was life for me, and ladies, I hate to tell you, however you woke up in the morning, that's how you're going to look, because there were no curling irons and no hair dryers for nothing. Amen? My dad was a bush pilot and a church planter, but it was there in the Bahamas that I trusted Christ as my Savior. I was a five-year-old boy. My dad was preaching Hell Hot and Heaven Sweet on a Thursday night. When my dad gave the altar call, I didn't walk down the aisle. I ran down the aisle, and I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I'm lost, and I want to trust Christ." You know, I'm so grateful for the fact that this Word of God is so simple that a five-year-old boy can trust Christ as his Savior. It changed my life. How many of you all remember the day you got saved? Amen? I'm telling you, listen, I'm grateful for the fact that I got saved. And then the years began to pass by. And as a teenage boy, I was 15 years old, my parents put me into a Christian school. And I loved hearing all these young people talk about getting into school and everything. Amen? Young people, don't take that for granted. I know the days get long and hard, but your parents are investing in you for the future. And young people, you are not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And church, if you don't invest in the church of today, there may not be a church come tomorrow. And I'm grateful for the fact that there's some young people here that love God. And that just thrills my heart. My parents put me in a Christian school. And it was there that I heard my principal. Just about every chapel service, he'd say this: "You have two choices on the shelf, choosing God or choosing self. Which will you choose?" And I'm so grateful I chose the things of God. I got to learn of missionaries of days gone by like David Livingston and Hudson Taylor and David Brainerd and Jim Elliott. And boy, God began to use those men's stories in my life. And at the age of 15, I surrendered to be a missionary. And at the age of 16, I surrendered to preach. And I've been doing it ever since and loving every second of it. Well, I will tell you what my ministry consists of. As you can see, I host what's called the Reach the World Youth Conferences. That's just a little portion of what I do in the ministry. I am all about seeing young people get exposed to world evangelism. See, as you know, this world that we live in today, it's dying and going to a devil's hell. And the laborers are definitely few. We need some more laborers. You see, Brother Saunders, where are these missionaries going to come from? From your children and your grandchildren. That's my prayer. Hudson Taylor prayed for 1,000 men that would take on China. Boy, I hope and pray to God I get 1,000. Amen? That's what I'm rooting for. And may I say, right here sitting amongst us could be some of God's greatest heroes, and we just don't even know it yet. You say, Brother Saunders, what do you mean? Sitting here before us is some great potential. The sky is the limit to what God could do through you, young people. And I'm grateful for the fact that I've come to the house of God where the Spirit of God is real, and there's life in this church. There is. I've been to a lot of churches. I've been to a lot of churches where it wasn't so friendly either. I was the guy that was the guest preacher. I was sitting basically about the third row right on the aisle. And this lady walked up to me. This was a church in North Carolina, so you may not want to go there. Amen. She walked to me. She said, "That's my seat." I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I got my family up and we moved over to another chair." I'm so grateful that this church is a friendly church. I'm grateful for the fact that you take care of missionaries. Your prophet's chamber is beautiful. You should be very proud of that. It is very comfortable. I will say this. It is very evident that your pastor was a missionary. I've been to a lot of churches where pastors have never been a missionary before. They pastor differently. And pastors who've taken mission trips pastor differently. I was in a church not too long ago. And the pastor, he wanted to interview me in front of the entire church. And this is what he asked. He said, "How come we're not seeing more young men surrender to preach? More young people surrender to missions?" I said, "Preacher, I'll answer the question like our Lord Jesus Christ would." He would answer the question with a question. "How many of you have never taken a mission trip outside the country?" When I asked for the showing of hands, there was all but maybe one person in the entire church that raised their hands. The pastor had his hand up as well. I said, "Pastor, if world evangelism and missions is not a top priority to you, it will not be a priority to the generations to follow. Who better to take young people on a mission trip than their pastor?" Now, I will tell you, one of the things that I love doing as the director of outreach and recruitment, so much of my time is in youth camps, Christian schools, Bible colleges, and churches all across the country. I told you we host the Reach the World Youth Conferences. We have two in Florida. We have one in Georgia. The one in Florida, we had probably about 150 young people. The one in Georgia, the president, who you got to see there on that video, he was panicking because it was at the headquarters of Macedonia. We were cramming 250 young people in that one building. And let me just tell you, it was exciting. I have another one in Shelbyville, Tennessee. We average about 150 to 160 young people there. As soon as I leave the great state of Alaska, I will hook up my fifth wheel, my pickup truck, and drive straight up to Maryland. And there we'll be hosting the very first Reach the World Youth Conference in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And the pastor is so excited. He said, "Bro Saunders, we're praying big. We're praying for 150 young people right out of the gate. I ask that you pray for fruit." And we are seeing fruit abound. One of the youth pastors that I personally invited to our Reach the World Youth Conference in Georgia, he and I used to be arch rivals with our Christian schools. We hated each other's guts on the basketball court. But now he's the youth pastor, and I'm the director of outreach and recruitment. I said, "Hey, Brother John, why don't you bring your young people to our conference?" Little did I know, he had just taken a mission trip to the Netherlands. He brought his young people to our conference, and it was there at the conference that he and his wife surrendered their lives to be missionaries to the Netherlands. You say, "Well, what did he do for a living besides being a youth pastor?" He had two doctorate degrees. He had a very, very fat salary as a physical therapist. He resigned as a physical therapist. He helped his church find their next youth pastor. He joined the greatest mission board on earth, and that's Macedonia World Baptist Missions. Raised his support in less than 2 years, and today he is on the mission field, and he's got his church up and going. Praise God. Amen. To God be the glory. We are seeing a vast of young people surrendering their lives to take the glorious gospel to a lost and dying world. Not only am I the director of outreach and recruitment, I'm also the director of the Southwest United States. My territory ranges from Louisiana all the way to the metropolis of California. That's a lot of territory. May I say, within those states, we know of 250 counties that have zero Baptist churches. There could very well be a couple here today that would surrender their lives, that would be willing to go to one of those states and plant a church. I will tell you right up front, you don't have to go by yourself. My family, we're mobile. I've been called a missionary, I've been called an evangelist, and I've even been called a gypsy because of how we travel. We do not have a house. We are full-timers with our fifth wheel. We will go out there, set up, knock and pound on doors, help you with your grand opening of your church. We have some experience. We were missionaries in Montana for over 12 years. I was also a law enforcement chaplain there, and we would be more than willing to help you. So please pray about that. So much of my time is in the Bible Belt. So much of my time is out west. And so much of my time is preaching in other places around the world. Will you open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17? 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. As I said, it is my honor and privilege to stand behind any man's sacred desk. And may I say, you ought to appreciate your pastor and your pastor's wife. I was sharing with your pastor that my parents, their ministry is rescuing churches. There are, for every church that is planted in the United States, foreclosed. Are you listening to me? If we thought COVID was a pandemic, this pandemic is far worse. We know of 500 churches across the country. They have property, they have people, and they have no pastor. Boy, you ought to love and appreciate and spoil your pastor and pastor's wife. A pastor and a pastor's wife are precious jewels. You'll never know how precious they are until they're gone. Take care of the one you have. I promise you, it'll be worth it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We'll read one verse of Scripture, have a word of prayer, and then I'll let you sit down. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege and honor it is to be in your house tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, will you please pass over this place like a tidal wave. God, I pray, Lord, may you convict the hearts of lost souls. May sinners walk down the aisle and be gloriously saved tonight. Lord, I pray with me you challenge the church, Lord, to go beyond ourselves and taking the, Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Lord, may we still proclaim to this world that Jesus Christ still saves lost sinners. Lord, I pray, Lord, out of this congregation, Lord, will you call some young people, Lord, some adults, some college-age individuals, Lord, dear God, to full-time Christian service. Nothing like serving you with our lives. God, I pray, Lord, may you help us. Lord, may our hearts ever be so burdened for the souls of man. Lord, may our eyes be wet with tears, Lord, for souls tonight. Thank you, Father, Lord, for what you're going to do in this service. Lord, I ask that you have your hands, Lord, upon, Lord, my feeble lips tonight. Give me clarity of speech and of mind. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. C.T. Studd said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for God, for Christ will last. Here in the Scripture, we find David is standing before King Saul. And he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I want to preach on a very simple thought tonight. It's a question. Will you go? Will you go? I want you to understand something tonight, that the enemies of God, they're already there. And they're waiting on you. Listen, if we were to go where your pastor served in Papua New Guinea, the Seventh-day Adventists are standing there. They're waiting. They're waiting on you. Oh, we had an incredible time in Papua New Guinea. It was my son's first mission trip. By the way, pray for him. He's going for a 2.5-month internship. The cost is $5,000. And glory to God, God's already provided almost half of what he needs. But there in Papua New Guinea, we would preach in the markets during the daytime and the villages at night. We stood in one of the particular markets, and we held up signs that said, the Sabbath cannot save. You say, Brother Saunders, what were you doing? Picking a fight. You say, why not? The Philistines are already there. Why not? But listen, the Seventh-day Adventist religion is nothing more than a religion. It's full of holes, and it will enslave the people. We were there to free them. Amen. And listen, can I tell you something? There is nothing like liberty in Christ. We preached. I even preached till I was spent. If you want to know what happened, I passed out, preacher, from the heat and the pure exhaustion. I got in Pastor Tao's car, and it was lights out for me. But boy, I had fun preaching. You said, what did you preach on? I preached a message on hell moves to meet thee. I was preaching to lost people. We saw a lot of people trust Christ as their Savior. Seventh-day Adventist churches were shutting down. People were showing up at the Baptist churches with a tract in their hand. They said, I read this. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And it recommends that I go to a Baptist church. This is a Baptist church, right? Praise God. I wonder if there'd be someone here willing to go to those villages that have yet to hear the gospel. You know, 100 years ago, the people of Papua New Guinea, you know it was on the menu, right? Yeah, us. Yeah. You say, what stopped that, missionaries? Young people, I'm here to tell you, God desires to use you. God no longer uses angels as His messengers. You say, why? Because God desires to use you and I. I wonder, boy, and I've already been told there's people from all over here. Let me ask this question. Any Yankees here tonight? Uh-huh. Okay. The Great Commission was, I'll put it in words you'll understand. The Great Commission was given to you guys. Oh, yeah. Any Southerners here besides me and my son? Okay, praise the Lord. It's given to y'all. Anybody from North Carolina? Well, if there was, you know what I'd say? It's to Ewans. Yeah, that's how they talk there, amen? It is given to each and every one of us. God desires to use you. May I say, listen, there's nothing greater than serving Christ with your life. Number one, there's the courage of a missionary. The courage of a missionary. Notice what David said to Saul. He said, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. What were all the other men doing? Well, the Bible says here that they were basically hiding. The Bible says here in verse in verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Look at me in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, the Bible says they fled from him and were sore afraid. Listen, what we need in this day and time is some individuals with courage. If there's ever a place that we need courage, it's right here in the United States of America. We need some young men and ladies that will stand upon the precepts of the Word of God. Boy, listen, hey, there is a gospel to be preached and a world to be reached with the gospel. One of my favorite missionaries, I talked about him, Hudson Taylor. I like this. I put it on the back of my Bible. God's work done God's way will never lack in God's supply. Courage. Hudson Taylor was a man of courage. He went to China and he did the unthinkable thing. Praise God, we don't still have to wear the clothes that the Europeans did. Amen. They used to wear frilly shirts. Their shoes were almost like high heels. I thank God we don't live in that day and time anymore. Amen. Hudson Taylor, though, did something unthinkable. He wore the clothes of the Chinese people, dyed his skin a yellowish color. He would take tea baths. He learned their language. Hudson Taylor was a man of courage. He begged the God of heaven, Lord, give me 1,000 men. And as he prayed for 1,000 men, he prayed, God, give them courage. But in doing so, you know what he thought about? Thought occurred to him, Lord, but these men and their families are going to die here. God said, Hudson, they're all going to die, and so are you. You know what? We're all going to die. The question is how you want to die. It's a good question. I'd rather die on my feet preaching the Word of God to a lost and dying world than doing nothing at all. Either you're going across the seas or you're going across the street. Each and every one of us are called into missions. You just need to decide how you're going to do it. But there is a third one. It's those who just do nothing. How will you stand at the judgment seat of Christ? What will you say? Well, Lord, I was good in sports. That won't mean nothing to him. Lord, I saw a massive Roosevelt elk. Yeah, that still won't do nothing either. You know what? That'll all be hay, wood, and stubble. But what if there was an individual here today that would look at all the empty seats? And there's not really a... This place is pretty packed, to be honest with you. But what few empty seats there are. And I see that there's also a balcony. I wonder if there'd be a young man, young lady here that would say, you know what? I'm determined in my heart. Lord, give me the courage to go and reach others with the gospel. And I will not be satisfied till I see those chairs filled. You know what? That kind of individual will do something great for God. In fact, what kind of funeral would they have? Think about it now. I'd imagine many a coffin have sat right here before. I wonder if people would line up and look in that casket and go and would say, that is the man who led me to Christ. That is the lady who invited me to the house of God. This individual changed my life and taught me how to love God. That's the testimony I want. What about you? The courage of a missionary. Are you willing to go knock on doors? Old William Booth says, go look for the worst of man. Go find the worst. One of my heroes of the faith, his name is Dr. Alan Barker. He pastored a mountain church in North Carolina. It was one of the first churches he ever took. And when he took this church, the people in the church, they told him, they said, preacher, you can go and knock on any door you want, but whatever you do, don't go to that man's house. Y'all want to know what he did Monday morning? I mean, they told him he's the meanest scoundrel in all North Carolina. He hates pastors. And he's a wicked, vile man. He knocked on that door. Hello, my name is Pastor Alan Barker. I'm the boy. And all of a sudden, that door slammed in his face. He said, I'll be back next week. Week after week, he'd show up. That man cussed him from one end to the next. But he never gave up. There did come a day. That door opened. That individual looked at Preacher Barker. He said, Brother Barker, I'm ready to get saved now. Brother Barker took the Word of God and led him to Christ. And that individual invited, many, many people to the house of God. They were gloriously saved. The courage of a missionary. Number two, I want you to see this. The cause of a missionary. David, in verse 29, said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? I have a question for you tonight. Is there not a cause? I can see what the cause is. The Bible says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he was speaking to King Agrippa, he said it in Acts 26 and verse 18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." I have a question for you tonight. How many of you would say, "Brother Saunders, I have lost family members, co-workers, neighbors. I know who they are. They're bound for the flames of hell. Would you hold your hands up right now? You know who they are. Let me ask you a question. Will you go? Is there not a cause? There are two judgments that are going to take place. The judgment seat of Christ. I told you that. But there's also another one called the Great White Throne Judgment. The book of Revelation, chapter 20 and 21, it describes that great white throne. We already know who's going to sit upon the throne. It's Christ Himself. But you and I will be there. We won't be judged, but we will watch it take place. See, Brother Saunders, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 21, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That word "there" is referring to you and I. The lost, one by one, will come before. They'll be ushered into the presence of a holy, righteous, sovereign God. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 33, it describes you and I as the watchmen. And the Bible says that if we don't herald out the warning, the Bible says He will require their blood upon our hands. The Bible also says that you and I will be wearing robes of white. How many of y'all would love to see your pastor in a robe? Yeah, man. We'll all be in robes. But I wonder, through all time and history, all nations, all tongues, all languages, as they begin to approach the throne of God, I wonder if you'd look down at your hands and you'd hear drip, drip, drip. Then I wonder if they'd look at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me the gospel? You've had it all this time. Your country is founded upon God's Word. Why didn't you tell me the gospel? Look at me now. I have the chains of sin. And I'm bound for the flames of hell." I wonder if one of your family members would look at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me? You went to that church all this time. You went to Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. You never told me. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" And now it's eternally too late. And all of a sudden, those heart-wrenching words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Angels cast in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels." The cause. It's real. Time is running out. Bible describes your life and my life as a vapor. Bible says, "Appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Listen, when your life ends, so does your witness. And when their life ends, they will open their eyes as the rich man in the flames of hell. The cause, it's real. Not only is there a cause, can I tell you something? There is the cry. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Here's the cry, that all the earth may know. Will you say it with me? That all the earth may know. Will you say it louder? That all the earth may know. When you wake up in the morning, you know what should come to your mind? That all the earth may know. Mamas and daddies, as you raise your children, you're teaching them. You know what you should have on your mind? That all the earth may know. I need to be training up my kids. They could become the next missionary. I want to prepare my children for the mission field. Oh, yes, yeah, start them young. Go knock on doors as a family. Hand out more tracts. Empty out that tract booth. Amen. Let them see what it's like to lead someone to Christ. I will tell you, listen, living in Montana for 13 years, I've shot just about everything there is to hunt. I love to hunt animals. I've got a mule deer at my mom and dad's. He's 24 inches across, his spread, and 27 inches high. 6 points on either side. Neck as big as that. I'm telling you, is a wonderful thing. Great adrenaline rush. How many of y'all like roller coasters? Come on, y'all young people. Y'all like roller coasters? Okay. My wife and kids, they are roller coaster fanatics. I mean, they like the loop-de-loops. They like the corkscrews. If we were to go to Six Flags over Georgia right now, you would hear some woman screaming her head off. It's really not a woman. It's me. I mean, the entire time. I mean, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love it. I love the adrenaline from hunting, riding the roller coasters. Anybody got a lead foot? You like to go fast? Anybody ever gotten a ticket on their way to church? Oh, praise the Lord. We got some honesty here. Amen. It's funny because I got one of these. You know how I got this? I got pulled over in my own church parking lot. Oh, yeah, I got a lead foot. My wife told me, whatever you do, you better don't speed. You're going to get a ticket. I got pulled over in my own church parking lot. It was a Wednesday night. You know, most people don't go to church on Wednesday nights. Yeah, that Wednesday night, they all came. Oh, yeah. They're looking out there. One kid goes, ooh, pastor's in trouble. And mama says, you don't know if he's in trouble. He could be talking that police officer. My wife says, oh, no, he's in trouble. That officer looked at me. He said, Mr. Saunders, he said, I'm going to let you have this ticket. He said, because when you go in there, you're going to get more of a punishment than you would if I write you this ticket. I'm like, you have no idea. He said, but I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do different than all the other pastors here in this valley? He said, you're new to our valley. You just started this church. I said, yes, sir. I said, sir, do you guys have a law enforcement chaplain? He goes, are you considering it? I said, yes, sir. He goes, we only have one. He is stretched thin. Here's his business card. Call the man. I called him. Can I tell you something? Being a law enforcement chaplain did not help my lead foot one bit. In fact, it made it worse. It's a lot of fun doing 125 miles an hour to a call. Amen. But you know what? I have found something that gives me greater joy than making that car go fast or riding a roller coaster and doing the loop-de-loops or finding that trophy and finding him in my scope and pulling the trigger. I found something that gives me greater joy, more drilling than anything else. Y'all ready for this? It's pretty simple. You ready? Taking out that old blessed book, sitting down with a stranger or someone I've known for years and sharing with them how they can escape the flames of hell and know that heaven's their home. How they can trust Christ as their Savior. So if you're a drilling junkie and you're like, Brother Saunders, I'm looking for something. I'm telling you right here it is. It's taking the gospel and reaching others that all the earth may know. Now listen, you listen so well. I got one point and I close. You ready? You can have the courage of a missionary. You can see the cause of a missionary. You can hear the cry of a missionary. But without this last thing, it's all in vain. You ready? Here it is. The commitment of a missionary. The commitment. Where is it at? I'll show you. Right here in the Scripture. David, the Bible says here in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He tells King Saul, I'll go. I'll fight. It's one thing to say it. It's another to do it. The commitment. Here it is, verse 40. He took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag. You notice it's 5, right? There's Goliath. You want to know how many brothers he had? I guess he thought, if I take on Goliath, I better take them all on. Boy, you know what we need in this day and time? Some more giant slayers. Come on now. The Bible says here, it says, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. Even a scrip and his sling was in his hand. Here's the part I want you to see. And he drew near to the Philistine. It's one thing to say, I want to reach people with the gospel. But it's another to draw near to them. You cannot reach people from a distance. You got to get close to them. Look them right eye to eye. Look them. Why not? That's where that courage comes into play. I mean, are you ashamed of the God we serve? I hope not. Look them right in the eye. Sir, if you die today, where's your soul going? You better be able to give the answers that they need. What about it tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here tonight. You say, Brother Saunders. Brother Saunders, I raised my hands that I have some loved ones, family members, co-workers, neighbors, individuals that weigh heavy upon my heart. First honors, I know exactly who they are. If you can see them in your mind's eye right now, would you hold your hands up? Can I ask you a question? Here's the question. Will you go? Will you go? Why don't you come to this old-fashioned altar and beg the God of heaven, Lord? Lord, will you give me the courage of a missionary that I can reach my loved ones with the gospel? Lord, will you give me the courage of a missionary that I can reach others that maybe in other parts of the world? Lord, help me to see the cause. Seeing their eyes open from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. Lord, I don't want to see Satan have a hold of my family members or my neighbors or my friends anymore that all the earth may know. And Lord, tonight I want to make a commitment in trying to reach others with the gospel before it's eternally too late. As we stand to our feet, as the piano begins to play, if you need to do business with God, why don't you come right now? Find a place in the altar. Why don't you come? Come on now. You might be here tonight, say, Brother Saunders, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. In fact, to be perfectly real and honest with you, I don't know where my soul's going when I die. It bothers me. It concerns me. Preacher, will you pray for me? No one else is looking except me and the pastor. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not sure where my soul would go if I was to die. It bothers me. It concerns me. Preacher, please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up right back down? We just simply want to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you or come to you. We just simply want to pray for you. Preacher, please pray for me. I don't know where my soul's going when I die, and it bothers me. Anybody here like that? God help us. God give us a greater vision. God give us a greater burden for lost souls. Lord, thank you for what you're doing here tonight. Pastor.
You need to come and pray. Come and pray. There's plenty of time. Plenty of space up here still. And anyone here, again, if you're not certain that you are saved, just know the Lord does love you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came to this earth to save you from judgment, dying on a cross for your sins, taking your place so that you could be saved from the judgment to come. We just come to Him in that repentance and faith, and He will save us. It is a gift offered freely by God.